Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your Ghosts of Christmas Past episode, because this is your preview on Christmas Eve ahead of Chelsea travelling up to Wolverhampton to maybe go and win a game. Only a few Chelsea people can relate to winning games at Wolves, myself included, obviously, in case you didn't know. I did win a trophy at Molineux, Upload United, taking on the Wolves fan cast, and we did the business. So, you know, fair play, boys. Well done. Very proud of all of you every single time. And I'm sure you will be listening to this podcast 100%. But that's redundant. It's by the by. We move on. But thanks to this terrible scheduling, we do have a great title for the pod. And it does instill fear, though, in many Chelsea fans' minds about the fact that we are going to Wolves. But let's get cracking. Gentlemen, let's just do the fun bit. Let's get it out of the way. All right. We're obviously recording this earlier. Anyone who thinks we're actually recording this on Christmas Eve, yes, we're committed to this project. No, we are not that committed. We are not ever going to be doing that. And by the way, your review is going to be a voice note review. Okay. So count yourselves lucky. All right. We're giving you presents and stuff in stockings, because, you know, we'll be hanging up our stockings on the wall tomorrow. Gentlemen, talk to me. Christmas plans. What are we looking at? What are you doing today and tomorrow that is traditional within your family?
Okay, I have a niche. Well, I don't know if it is that niche, but on Christmas Eve, in my family anyway, we always have fish pie for dinner on Christmas Eve. Don't know if that's weird. I love fish pie. It's great. And then, obviously, it means, you know, all that meat on the day itself.
It's just euphemism after euphemism.
The stuffing one was part deliberate, but the stuffing is also my favourite part of the Christmas lunch, dinner, meal, whatever, whenever you have it. And then other than that, it's basically eat a lot, drink a lot, put on more weight.
Nice.
And we'll see you in Jan.
Do you have like the fish pie thing, like, your only family tradition? Like, is that because that's a big thing? Like, for example, like on Christmas Eve, I always cook. That's our thing. I am the chef de partie on Christmas Eve usually.
What else do we do? There's not really our Christmas Day is I suppose a fairly typical British Christmas day. Get up, open the stockings. We always go out for a long walk. That's one thing we do. Take the dog out, and then, you know, other, you know, mates, family, friends and stuff who have dogs or don't have dogs come. We have a nice walk around, take a ball around, maybe have a beer, then come back, have a shower, and get on it. And then, you know, by that time the smoked salmon has come out and the party really gets started. And then I eat too much, and then when it comes to the actual Christmas lunch, I'm not actually hungry anymore. Then I have one bit of stuffing and suddenly I'm starving. It's just, it's a great day, isn't it? A really great day.
It is amazing. Yeah, we're quite, I'm not a big religious person, but I'm a big Christmasist. So yeah, we have, I think, so Christmas Eve every year we go to the cinema. Seen some shit films, seen some good films. Last year's was a weird one. I can't remember. It was really weird, actually. But yeah, we always go to the cinema, always see a film. As far as Christmas Eve food goes, we always have, or at least for a long time, like one of those, you know, those giant pieces of ham cooked in Coke. It's like gammon, kind of. We have that cooked in Coke, and it's so lovely. It just falls apart, quite sweet. Have that with homemade chips and fried eggs. That's what we have every Christmas Eve. And then you might tuck into some Celebration/Heroes, whatever you fancy, one of those boxes. And then, Christmas Day, it's a wake up. It's a presents with, it might be a bit of smoked salmon, kind of Bellinis, slash a box of biscuits, M&S biscuits. You know, the ones with the there's like chocolate round ones. They're my favourite out of that box. And then, yeah, as for like rankings in terms of what I enjoy the most, this is going to sound very full of euphemisms, but sausage meat is the one for me that you stuff the turkey with. That is, oh my God, that's unbelievable. So it's like you have that as well as stuffing, as well as turkey, as well as pigs in blankets, as well as honey roasted parsnips, because they are the absolute bollocks as well. Crispy roast potatoes, Brussels. You know what? Brussels don't get enough love, man.
I love Brussels.
Overhated.
That's another thing that we do. Sorry, Tobes, to cut you up. But on the Brussels, my mum does Brussels sprouts with chestnuts and little lardons.
I was going to say the pancetta or lardons. Delicious. Banging.
What I quite like about our Christmas dinner at home is it's because also when my grandparents came over from Italy, my nonna, she worked as like a maid, a scullery maid in one of the kitchens of, like, they're called Lord and Lady Lakewell or something like that. I've got the plates here somewhere A Lord Lady Locke.
That's not your nan in the background there, though, in the maid outfit, though.
No, no, it's not my nan in that maid outfit. No.
That's still Roberto. Roberto Di Vico.
Oh, Louis, you want me to clean your dishes? Okay. I thought we would be doing other activity, but this is fine.
Okay, yeah, he's hanging about for Christmas, yeah. Yeah, no, it's so she, yeah, she'd come over, but then, like, oh, the way we do it, even when she did our roast, when we go over to ours, when I was little, before, not during Christmas, there was always, like, a really nice twist on a traditional English meal. So, like, for example, like, we do our turkey or whatever, but then, like, we do, like, duck, and then our Brussels sprouts are done with, like, garlic, chilli and pancetta, and we do, like, cream mushrooms, like, cream spinach. Like, it's really nice. So I'm really looking forward to that at Christmas. But then also, fun fact, we do tortellini as our starter. We don't do any of this, you know, prawn cocktail nonsense.
So we've had a smoked salmon and cream cheese bagel sometimes I'll have as breakfast.
Yeah. So that's one thing we are doing this year, because we don't normally do a big breakfast on Christmas Day.
No, because you eat so much food anyway and you're grazing throughout.
Yeah, you know? I feel like it all just goes out the window.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like 8 o'clock or nine, whenever you're up, and you've got chocolate in your one hand and a pint in one. It's like, your body's like, what the fuck are you doing? Which is why everyone has to have a nap.
Bailey's at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. After we finish the presents, that's another tradition I forgot. I have Bailey's and a cigar. I have a cigar.
Oh, nice.
On Christmas Day. That's
nice.
It's a nice, yeah, it's a nice one to uphold.
I like that. Well, we'll be keen to hear all your guys' Christmas traditions as well, obviously. Let us know if you have anything. Wherever you are, obviously, we've got a massive audience in Australia, so you don't exactly do turkeys. So
you go down to the beach, mate.
Oh, actually, when do you guys have your first leftover sandwich? Because the leftover sandwich, I'm not as big a chef as Louis, but I can make a fucking banging Christmas leftover sandwich. I haven't seen anyone top it. I haven't seen anyone top it. It's absolutely incredible.
I reckon about 6 p.m. on Christmas Day. By the way, is when I'm
6 p.m. That's quite early. Fair.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just go for it. I'm like, I open the fridge.
I'm usually so stuffed.
But then there's more stuff into stuff, and you're like, oh, stuff me, daddy.
I'm still scrounging the leftover tiramisu at that point. I'm not gonna lie, that's usually
That's when I'm eating a Yule log and then laying one too.
Yeah, and then the cheese board's out, and I'm just
Actually, yeah, you're a cheese man, aren't you?
I am. I'm salivating at the thought of it.
Antoine Cheeseman.
That's me, mate.
We're going to get a load of cheese when I go back. That's the plan. I think it's actually obviously that we're not recording this Christmas Eve, but as people listen to this, I will be at my mate's dad's cheese shop picking up as much cheese as I can carry back, so I'll definitely be doing that.
What have I got in mind?
Giant baby bell.
this Italian one is called Parmigiano Reggiano.
Did you know that? Just saying, you know, that's been voted the best cheese in the world this year. I love that. We beat the French.
What, baby bell?
Love it. No, it's, and I'm, to be fair,
I mean, it's quite versatile, isn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, though, I might actually pick some up because I do need some. But, you know, I'll go see my cousin for that because I get it for free. But, you know, outside of that, yeah, I think we're going to be looking at, we'll get Black Bomber. That's my favourite cheddar. I love that. Black Bomber. It's like a really, really nice, like, posh cheddar. Don't fucking do that.
Well, I didn't say it, did I?
We could probably get a nice brie. Has to be done. Dad just loves his like stinky cheeses. I remember when I was little. No, but
you have to have a Stilton.
We don't really do Stilton. Like
we don't do that. What we do is we buy a block of cheddar, a bit of a cathedral, and you just, all you do is, Tom, you get a blue pen and you just draw some dots on it and you're sorted. No one knows. No one's any wiser.
No, to be fair, we do that, but then we usually go to the deli and go see our Italian brethren and go and treat ourselves to some prosciutto, salami, mortadella, babbity boobity.
You obnoxious bellend.
What do you mean? How am I obnoxious?
Salami. Are you one of those guys that goes to a restaurant and when they're ordering like a carbonara, you're like, I'll have the carbonara. Could I please have the lasagna?
I will do that if it means, to be fair, if it's an Italian restaurant and I'm trying to figure out if they're Italian or not, I will do that. Just because then after that I can try and wangle a discount. Boys, listen, it's all, you're playing like checkers, I'm playing chess. Right, just don't get jealous. You know what I mean? Like it works. Yeah, we get that.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we'll be playing on Christmas. Yeah, but I don't know about you guys. We're not big on. We don't do many board games. I think we used to do it a bit when I was a kid. But
that's one thing. That's one thing about the evening of Christmas Day that I'm glad is fading out of my family traditions, because I absolutely hate charades. I hate charades. It's just the worst game, and we always play it, and my mum's like, oh, let's play. I'm like, I literally would play anything else. So it's kind of morphed into more of a...
I've got an even better, I've got a better hypothetical, a bit of a real sticky situation. Right, so you have to play charades, or you have to watch Mrs. Brown's Boys on Christmas Day.
Oh, play charades. God. Play charades. No, charades.
I would play charades.
I'd rather play charades while someone sticks needles into my eyes.
I don't understand who watches this show. Literally anyone I've spoken to about it. I might genuinely become a campaigner for it, because who's watching this shit?
I think there has to be closet fans, though, because for it to be that big, I'm like, surely there are people that are sitting there listening to everyone say it's the shittest show they've ever seen, and they have no understanding of how it has an audience. Surely that audience is sat there, not exactly audibly saying, I'm a fan of it, but they're thinking, they're like, oh, I actually quite like it. There has to be. And I don't understand how there is, but there has to be an audience, because why is it on? It's on every Christmas, but it's also on. Why is it on? It had a film. They got a film out of it. So it must be big.
I mean, it's like, it used to be. I used to like it. Like, years ago.
Here he comes.
Years ago. It used to be good. No.
Sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the morning.
You know, it's like for about 2-3 years, it was quite funny. And then afterwards, it just turned to shit. It just got a bit boring. I went as Mrs. Brown for like a dress-up thing when I was like 13, 14. That was fun.
Mrs. Brown, yeah. Black Bomber. You're dicing with danger here, Benaventi. Two strikes.
it's pretty much done. But yeah, I mean, that's us going through our Christmas editions. Let's get back on track, though, gentlemen. Obviously, that was an extended intro. Guys, let's know your Christmas editions. And obviously, if you listen to this Christmas Day, you know, fair play. We appreciate that.
Turn it off and get Wham on. Listen to us the day before or Christmas Boxing Day.
Christmas. Okay. Next year, by the way, can we just record a Christmas single?
I will not be doing that, right?
Yeah, but think about how much money Lad Baby made from it. I mean, we can absolutely do it. Just about, like, I don't know. We'll do a Christmas song. If Chelsea gets to Wembley, though,
they're the Mrs. Brown of music. Everyone looks at Lad Baby and is like, who is listening to this?
Yeah, I remember when they put out their thing and we're not actually going to do a single this year, and everyone rejoiced. I don't know how do they get to number one every year? Like, music, our country is a shambles, honestly.
Do you remember growing up where the X Factor would always be the Christmas number one, and one year everyone went, fuck it, let's make Killing in the Name of Rage Against the Machine the number one, and it won, and it was beautiful. It was really good.
Was it because the BBC, they said to the BBC, although when they're saying because it's Christmas number one, they weren't supposed to play it, they said,
yes,
can
you right.
swear when you record it? And they just did it anyway.
Yeah.
Which,
to be fair, BBC asking a band called Rage Against the Machine if they'll comply with The Machine is a bit of a questionable call to make, to be fair.
Anyway, should we talk about Chelsea?
We shall do, but I am going to say this now, right? Chelsea gets to Wembley. We have to record a Wembley song. Shits and giggles. That's
you
all it
can
is.
Do
no,
it.
We're doing
you
it.
Are, this
we're
is doing one of those it. Ones. This is like we're when you've it. Thrown out.
No, no, no,
the
no, no.
Like, well, we're doing this, and we're like, are we? We don't agree to this. Sign the contract.
Yeah, but Tobes, stop being so boring. Come on,
look,
it'd be a
I
bit
will
of fun.
Happily be the producer and play a bit of keyboard that I've been learning. That's what I'll do. I'll play a little bit of keyboard. How about that?
There
you go.
Yes. I'll play the triangle and be the backing singer.
That'll be good. We'll do that.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be a bit less shit in 2 months and hopefully we'll be at Wembley. And then in that case, I'll be more than happy to try and conjure up a little bit of a jingle on the keyboard.
Write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. Oh dear. Anyway, right, let's get straight into it.
Do the raw.
Chelsea, fuck's sake, do the raw. Chelsea are now on their way to Wolves, or might already be there. And it is definitely a little bit of a bogey ground for us. I'm not looking forward to it, if I'm honest. But before we do get into that, let's get straight into the most important bit before we do our analysis and talk about the game. It is the most important section of every single preview, because it means that me and Tobes can actually sing a jingle where we wrote the theme tune, sing the theme tune, and that is Stat Shaggers, football with no eyes.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
It sounded so enthusiastic. But yes, guys, it's the most important section of any podcast, the stats section. And it's Wolves.
And it's live.
Those of you who have followed Chelsea for a moderately long time will know that we've had our tough times at Molineux, especially at Christmas time. But as it's Christmas, I thought we could have a little game. So you two are going to be put to the test after this brief statistic. We've played Wolves 115 times in our history. We've won only 44 of those. Drawn 30, lost 41. Obviously, a lot of those losses have come from back in Deer, but also more recently. And so the last time we actually won at Molineux was the infamous 5-2 win in September of 2019 under Frank. And obviously some pretty nice goals in there. So I was going to get you guys to guess or know. I feel like Toes will just know it off by heart based on some of his other knowledge. The Chelsea lineup from that day.
Well, it was. And we had a screamer, didn't we? From Mr. Fakayo.
Yep.
So we can list. So Tomori, Tammy Hattrick and Mount. They were the goal scorers. It was a very Cobham-filled day, wasn't it? It was a nice day for all of us. So those three were starting.
Okay, so I've got those three. Kepa. I want to say Zuma. Was Zuma playing?
Probably.
He was not.
Oh, okay. And so no Zuma.
He came off the bench, Zuma.
Christensen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Was Rudiger in it?
Yep. That's the back three.
Marcus.
And then Reece was playing right wing back.
Alonso runs down the wing.
Reece wasn't playing.
No, it was Dave. Dave would have been playing.
He was on loan, wasn't he?
No, he was there, but he just started. I think he scored in the Carling Cup maybe the week before that game. So we'd have had Dave at right wing back.
Yep.
Jorginho.
Yep.
Kovacic, because Kante was injured.
Terrible. The Jorginho midfield actually won a game.
Yeah, so Mount, Tammy and... Woyoy was still injured from Sarri ball. So it could have been...
Not Pulisic.
Not Pulisic then.
Pulisic was an unused sub.
Who would have... Ah! Oh, he was number 10 that season. Willian!
He was. And that's that. There you go. Pretty quickly got that team. Kepa, Tomori, Christensen, Rudiger, Marcos, Alonso, Kovacic, Jorginho, Azpilicueta, Mount, Willian, Tammy Abraham, the hat-trick hero. And then Ross Barkley, Kurt Zouma and Michy Batshuayi came off the bench.
Oh.
Wolves had a decent side. Diego Jota was playing for them, Ruben Neves.
Ruben Neves.
And Tammy wasn't content with scoring three, of course, because he also scored an own goal. And also got booked. So an eventful day. That was the last success story we had at Molineux on the 14th of September 2019. So as you can probably gather from that, it's been quite shit since. We've lost 2-1, drawn 0-0, and lost 1-0 in the three subsequent seasons.
I was at the
0-0.
Two players on the bench. It was around this time. To be fair, we always play Wolves away in December, other than that 5-2.
We do. We do. Often. Not always. Last year we didn't. But it does feel like we always play Everton and Wolves in December. And we did it again this year. We obviously lost at Goodison Park. Hopefully we won't lose at Molineux. But yeah, the niche stat I had was actually the last time I had to go digging through the archives for this one. Last time we actually did win at Molineux in December was in 1977.
Fuck off, really? That's crazy.
In the old Division 1. Can't actually remember what league it was in. Probably should have written that down. But yeah, that was the last time we beat them.
It would have been.
We're the boys in blue from Division 2. We won't be here for long. Come along, come along, come along and sing this song. What a tune. I love that one. Anyway, but we're not in Division 2.
And we're not in Division 2 yet.
Not yet.
Wolves themselves are 13th, so below us. They have won only 5 of their opening 17 games. Again, not as many as we have. And only won 1 of their last 5 as well and got hammered by West Ham last week. And they've only scored 21 goals because, as always with Wolves, they don't score goals.
They have been screwed by VAR, though, this season.
They have. They've had their runnings in. They also got that big win against Spurs, obviously. And having said that, they are still quite a solid team. They do still pack a bit of a punch. And they have some quality players up front who can do their thing on their day. So this is definitely not going to be an easy game, even with those, their current form and everything. But yeah, that's the stats for this week. And I think we we then go straight into our Echo 11, but I hand it back to Louis on that.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you for that section of Stat Shaggers, football with no eyes. Let's get straight into that 11 then, gents. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's fair, we were pretty nailed on with the Newcastle game. I think because our only issue was, I think, was the Zassi Gusto bit. That was kind of like our slash, wasn't it? Like, we weren't sure who that was going to be. But having said that, I think, you know, we are going to probably get fairly close with this one again as well. If we go through it quickly, then I guess it'll be Jordi Petrovic in goal. Pretty self-explanatory. The fullbacks, I think, are going to be an interesting talking point, because I think hopefully Poch will have seen how important it was for us to have actual fullbacks in those positions. So do we think that we are going to see Ian Mattson and Malo Gusto start as our fullbacks?
I'm down. I'm down. And Ben, I like Big Ben. He's had a couple errors where I'm like, come on, mate, that's a concentration thing. What's that about? And I would like to see Cole Wall play at centre back just once.
I agree with that.
Is that too much to ask?
I agree. I would like to see it, but I don't think we will see it.
This isn't what we think will happen. This is what we want to happen, isn't it?
True. It's the Echo 11. It's what we want. Okay, in that case, I'm fully on board the fullback train. Play in and play Malo.
Yeah. This revolutionary take from us is that we are going to play a left back at left back, a right back at right back, a left sided centre back at left sided centre back, and a right sided centre back at right sided centre back.
I know it's revolutionary, guys, but you heard it here first.
We are ahead of the game.
We are. Well, yeah, sometimes you keep it simple, you get the job done. I do want to touch on Colwell quickly, because I am worried about him, because you can see that there is a quality player in there. But at the moment, as much as obviously this is the Echo 11, we want to see Mattson start. But as Tom touched on, realistically, we will realistically see Colwell start as our left back. And if anything, I'm worried about the damage that's done to him and to the team. You know, mentally for him, it's very difficult. You know, we're asking to adapt something which he's not built for. And then we're also looking at it and going, well, you know, he can just do it, and it's just not helping his development either. And alongside that, obviously, the team suffers when we don't have that impetus. I think the one thing I kept noticing in the Newcastle game, obviously, the benefit of having an actual left-back at left-back was there was plenty of opportunities to overlap. You know, there was loads of 2v1 opportunities against the right-back at the time, and, you know, we never really took it. But that's because we don't have players that are playing in their natural positions. Hopefully, we can see that, and hopefully we can see Levi actually be given the opportunity to play at centre-back. Bad issue, as you said, you know, concentration errors, clearly still on his way back from that injury, not fully there yet. But Levi Colwell, on the other hand, ready to go. I'd like to see him play alongside Thiago Silva at centre-back in this game, definitely. Are we happy with Thiago Silva as the other centre-back option?
Yeah, and just to touch on Colwell, yeah, I get your concern, but I thought about this the other day, and I was like, I don't want players misprofiled. I think Potts should play players in their actual positions, obviously. But at the same time, like, Colwell playing at left-back because of the situation we're in, if he has to, like, none of us were moaning. If, you know, I mean, Gallas was signed originally sort of, well, I mean, he centre-back and right-back, and then he ended up playing left-back. Dave was a right-back, and he played everywhere in defence, to be honest. He even played left-wing against Atletico Madrid. Like, you do your job. You know, you're playing for Chelsea. That in itself is a big moment for Colwell. Like, he's broken into the first team, and he's a regular under Poch. It's not like he's not trusted. So, yeah, like, I'm the same as you boys. I would prefer him to start a centre-back, but I don't think it's the worst thing for his development, just in terms of, you know, he's getting minutes on the pitch for us. He's building connections for us. And if he can become even more adept at playing that role, then it's just another string to his bow, is the phrase.
No, absolutely. That's fair enough. But yeah. Okay.
Ivanovic was a centre back when we signed him, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was. But then I feel football's moved on a lot. And
you need
to have the, not only the physicality of the defensive duties, but the dynamism to go forward. And
we are in the era of the fullback, that's for sure.
Yeah. And that's where I don't think we've got that really in those players. We'll move swiftly on into the midfield quickly. Again, I think that's fairly
actually. Wait, we've left someone out. According to Sky, Chilwell played yesterday. So we got Chili back. That's good. That's not bad.
That's news to my ears. Music to my ears.
Although we'll just stick Chili at left wing, won't we? So fair enough.
Well, probably would. But yeah. But anyway, midfield I think is going to be, well, no, there's no Enzo probably with this this injury he's got. You know, it's it looks like it could be long term. So hopefully it's not. So hopefully he can recover. It's a chronic injury though. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Get in my team.
So are we going Gallagher, Caicedo, and Kunku.
Yeah, Gallagher. I was going to go Palmer.
Third forward.
Yeah. Or Gallagher, Caicedo.
But I think he had to play Mudryk after the other day, after last night. I think he needs to play. So I would play Palmer in the 10. Gallagher would have to sit and be a little bit more disciplined alongside Moises. And then I would play Sterling on the right, where we've, as we've discussed, he is better. Mudryk on the left.
Yep.
And Nkunku through the middle as whatever he wants to be, a false nine or a number nine or whatever he wants to be. Let him do his thing.
I would do the same.
Let's see what happens.
I'm there. I'm so there. I'm alive. I'm awake. I want to see that team.
Sounds good. I mean, in my head, I was actually dropping Sterling. I was playing Palmer on the right. I was going to play and Kunku in that sort of like second striker 10 role, Jackson and Mudryk. That was what I was thought, I think. Because I worried that if you played Palmer and Kunku down the middle, they're going to get in the way of each other.
I think they'd... do you know what? When I think of the Arsenal game where Palmer played through the middle, though, almost as a striker, like, I just think they'll rotate quite well, if I'm honest. Like, they're just good footballers. And we don't play, like, long physical ball. I know we try and do crosses sometimes. We don't need to massively. Although Nkunku is supposedly quite good in the air, surprisingly, for a smaller man. And he even won a header yesterday against Burn. I was quite surprised at. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think Palmer is so much more effective, isn't he, when he gets on the ball in those little between-the-line bits in the, like, centrally rather than on the wing.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough. I tell you, we'll go.
Okay, I hear you though. Like, I can understand. I can understand if you want to drop Sterling.
I just don't see right now. I think Sterling's place in this team is probably the most under threat. He's like we were saying in the review of the Newcastle game. He's too inconsistent, and I think if someone comes into the side and can prove to be more consistent and link up better, you know, sorry Raheem, but you know your place is under threat. But anyway, that is the Echo 11. So we need to move swiftly on, boys, because as we've said to everybody, if you want to get us any Christmas presents to the Chelsea Echo, if someone wants to pay for our Zoom, that would be great, because we've got 6 minutes left on the current one.
I'd prefer actual presents, guys.
I just want 3 points of money. Presents.
Yeah, that would actually, no, that's exactly
what. But yeah, anyway, we'll move swiftly on quickly. Look, key battles, what are we looking at? Let's just pick one battle each, rattle it off, and then we'll rattle through the rest.
Once again, it's us and ourselves. Just turn up and be on it, and you'll get a win.
Tom?
I'm going to go for, if we play the team that we've put out, then I'm going to go for Nkunku against the likes of Craig Dawson. So it's a proper Premier League introduction.
He's a good defender.
That. Like, yeah, you're better than him, and you've got pace on him, but Craig Dawson is a bloke who's just going to kick you. He's good in the air, he's strong. So you're going to have to go around him, and that's a challenge.
Yeah, that is going to be very interesting. I agree. I think for me, it is them in Nkunku and our front line against those centre-backs. I'm looking forward to watching Max Kilman, because he's my new hear-me-out signing after James Ward-Prowse went to West Ham. So hopefully we can
maybe actually link with him.
See, I know ball, mate. It's very, very simple.
Or you saw the same you've seen the same link that I did.
No, I haven't actually seen it.
He has had him. He has had him in his FPL team for a worryingly long time, given Wolves' woes recently. But
come on, West Ham have just turned them over 3-0. I think Gary O'Neill has shocked the world in a way, or maybe not shocked the world. Maybe some people actually fully were on board after what he did with Bournemouth last season. I thought it was a bit of an anomaly, but it clearly isn't. He's a very good coach.
I wouldn't mind him for England after Southgate, personally.
I'm not.
Eddie Howe, surely.
I mean, no, obviously Eddie Howe's the first choice, but if Eddie Howe doesn't leave Newcastle, I actually wouldn't mind Gary O'Neill. I think he'd be a good coach for us.
Pep, Jose. I want an elite manager
be good.
To go to the next level.
Be good, but yeah, we'll have to see. But anyway, obviously we've got that. Hopefully, if Jackson does play, and with Nkunku, we can maybe see them linking up, which would be nice. European football would be nice as well, but obviously our dire form at Molineux probably won't help us in that chase at the moment. But we aren't that far off. So Europe at a push, Champions League is long gone, but Conference League would be lovely. So let's get those 3 points. Let's see how this midfield shapes up as well, obviously with Enzo Fernandez being unavailable. I think that's it, boys, isn't it? Anything else you want to touch on?
No, just put your
up Chelsea.
Put your milk and cookies out, guys. Enjoy your Christmases. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, enjoy your holidays.
Santa's coming and he's giving us an early gift. He's giving us an early present. 3 points wrapped in bacon. And we are coming back from Wolves with 3 points. And just by the way, in the voice note review, if we win, I think someone might go, oh, well, I also won at Molineux. So
that was, that was
just be ready for that.
Really good Frodo from Lord of the Rings.
But yeah, up the Chelsea. Let's do it. Let's do them. Let's have a good Christmas for a change in the Chelsea context. And we'll catch you on the flip.
Exactly, guys. So hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. On the Santa note, by the way, if there is a random man in your house at midnight and you don't know who he is and he's going through your cupboards, call the police, all right? Don't
really
approach him.
He's really big guy. Don't, guys. Yeah,
hey, guys, it's me.
I have come from Louis' house. He told me to come to you. I still have the same frosting on my penis.
Hey, you say you want a sack? I got a big sack full of presents for you, my friend.
Anyway, guys.
A big sack. It's so snowy in here.
Oh, okay, that's enough. Right, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming to this Christmas Eve preview.
Thank you for coming, you say. Oh, you're more than welcome.
Shut up! I'm trying to do the outro. Anyway, this has been your preview of Chelsea versus Wolves on Christmas Eve. The Ghost of Christmas Past. It'll have you guys a Christmas present because we're going to give you a Christmas message, an alternative to the King's Speech, because no one cares what Big Sausage Fingers has to say. But obviously, as well, just so you know, your review...
You're going to finger my sausage. get your fingers on this sausage.
Shut up.
Salami picante.
Your voice note
Merry
review.
Christmas, you fuckers.
Apparently, shut the fuck up. Anyway, your voice note review is going to be the review for Wolves. We will see you guys later. Ta-da. Make sure you share the echo. Make sure that you tell your friends and family and the random man in your house, which is definitely going to be either Tomes or Tom by the sound of things, about it as well. And make sure you vote for the Highway 61 production. That is the blueprint at the Sports Podcast Awards. It means a lot. Give Gary a Christmas present because he's given us presents all year round. But this has been it. Gentlemen, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a good one. And we will see you later. Ta-da.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Fucking arseholes, the pair of you.